Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello and welcome to The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. My name's Sarah Morgan. Hello, Ness. Hello. You all right, everyone? How are you? My guest unpacking their greatest fears this week is the boyishly handsome stand-up comedian, Tom Neenan. That's right. Boyishly handsome. Handsome like a boy. I did not say which one. We're going to get straight into it, but I wanted to let you know that if you're in LA, or even if you're not, it's still going to happen. Tom Neenan is going to be performing his Edinburgh show, It's Always Infinity, at the Lyric Hyperion Los Angeles on the 23rd of October, 2019. If you like funny things, I would advise going. Tickets and details are available at tomneenan.com. UK-based listeners, there's details of the next The Fear the Live coming up after this, and then we can all enjoy a lovely chat with the rakishly handsome Tom Neenan. Rakishly handsome. Handsome like a rake. I did not say much. Come and say hello on at The Fear Podcast on the social medias. We're very lonely. I say we, it's just me. Rate and review on iTunes, all the things. But for now, enjoy this chat with the fabulous Tom Neenan. Cheers! Ahoy, ahoy, you spooky babies. Sarah here with a special message to our friends in the north. On the 25th of October, we're doing a The Fear the Live Halloween Spooktacular at the York Theatre Royal. My special guests will be Do the Right Things' Danielle Ward and Inside the Comedian's David Reed. Two of my favourite podcasts, two of my favourite people. We'll be talking about scary stuff in the beautiful theatre in Europe's most haunted city, apparently. That's The Fear the Live, 25th of October in York. For tickets and more info, go to yorktheatreroyal.co.uk or at The Fear Podcast on Twitter and Facebook. Book now or FOMO forever. Hello and welcome to The Fear, a podcast about the overlap between comedy and horror. My name's Sarah Morgan. Hello.
Hello.
My guest this week is comedian, stand-up, writer.
Sure.
All of those. Mm-hmm. That's basically the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. We're all multi-hyphens now. We're all freelancers just trying to make our way in the world.
Hyphenate freelancer.
Yes.
Tom Neenan.
Hello.
As always, I ask my guests to bring in three things that scare them, a fear from their childhood, their favourite scary moment from film or TV, which they can interpret how they wish, and a fear or phobia they live with now. And by doing so, we all just kind of admit that we're all just scared of stuff. Everyone's terrified all the time. Are you terrified all the time, Tony?
Always, always. The thing that scares me most is people who aren't terrified all the
time. Yeah, what the fuck's their problem?
No, I don't know.
No.
I want them to get away from me, psychopaths.
I had this horrible realisation the other day that Donald Trump, for all his crimes,
yeah,
I absolutely promise, has never been in the shower and then just stopped and stamped his foot and made this noise because he remembered something he put on an internet message board 18 years ago that doesn't exist anymore. And I do that all the time. Constantly just go, God! Then
I stop dead in the street. I actually physically stop walking if I remember something that I'm like, there'll be things that I say now, maybe this sentence, the end of this sentence,
please,
that will end up, at some point I'll have to stop walking the street and go, okay, and just
try, yeah. That's the word, yeah. Yeah, so people who don't cringe at the content of their character,
yes,
at all
exactly
times.
Yeah.
Are you a scaredy person?
I don't know. I think I certainly have, like, anxiety. That's something I have.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the same, because I feel like fear comes from a different place. My anxiety.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, and this is based on nothing, but it's just how it feels, which is like there's certain things that you feel anxious about, but you're very aware of what they are, and I think you fear the unknown more. So like you might fear a dark alley because something awful could happen there, but you wouldn't you'd feel anxious generally about sort of being attacked or I don't know, I'm not explaining it very well, but it's
anxiety. I mean, I have genuine anxiety disorder, which is different to depression, and I have them both, but anxiety is like a general low-grade kind of, I mean, it's very physical.
It's a hum, isn't it? It's like a hum.
It's a background hum that you've definitely done something wrong somewhere, or something bad is about to happen. And the thing that happened to me the other day is I was talking to a friend of mine who is as equally frightened of opening important emails as I am.
Right.
Like, and you can see the headline in the thing and you know it's there, and he tortures himself putting off. And I used to do that, and then I changed a setting on my phone by accident. I don't know what I did, but I accidentally turned on notifications.
Yes.
So the front page of the email, the first sentence of the email, that I always had that turned off, and that now comes up when I get an email, and I have no time to be anxious now because the thing that says you definitely got the job or we're definitely not hiring you. my phone screen popped up the other day, and it was this thing I've been waiting to hear. I haven't heard anything about it for 6 months, and it just went like, yeah, we're going with a more experienced writer.
Right.
Now that should have disemboweled me,
yes,
but because it just sort of came out of the corner of my, like, what? And I was like standing in a sandwich queue. It was like, oh well, I had no time to build that up.
It didn't just appear. Oh, this is the important email that I wanted from the person, and now I'm opening it, and now the little circle's turning.
Yeah.
You couldn't build that up as much.
Yes.
That's a very good idea. Another tip that I was given by brilliant comedian Ahir Shah is his phone. He put his phone on black and white. Which, just because you have notifications that are red,
right,
and that is, you know, that maybe it's hardwired in that is danger. All of his phone is black and white, so that actually I think it's a more calming thing, you know, and all the notifications are less extreme and less kind of, I suppose the word would be triggering in a sense, because that's what they literally do, is like trigger a response.
Yeah, they're designed to make you do something,
exactly,
or feel something, have a kind of emotional. And it's chemical, like anxiety, the chemical that happens with the, I mean, it's interesting, we're talking about this all in very social media and technology terms, but it's a really nice segue into a project I really enjoyed recently, because I only just heard it, called The Hauntening.
Oh, bless you, thank you very much.
Yeah, which was on Radio 4 a while ago.
Yes, we try and put them on, so that was on last Halloween. We're not doing one this year, but next year as well. That's going to be some more at Halloween again, so that should be really fun.
I really enjoyed it. They're sort of nice, short, nasty little horror stories. But they're modern horror stories. Like, one's about Uber.
Yeah.
One's about viral videos. The podcasting one's great. I love it.
I really like put them together. They're 15 minutes long, which is hard, but it's really interesting. I know you like your comedy theories.
I do. I love a comedy theory.
Theory.
Yeah.
One of them.
Who's the mum in Tom Noonan? Who's the matriarch? Who's the patriarch?
Yes.
Who's Clark from the Clan? When it's just you on your own, Tom Noonan.
Is it like a left brain, right brain thing? And it's like the mum and the dad, and my hands are the kids.
That's
that feels.
Feels wrong.
Please don't cut that out of context. But one of the things I was thinking is that part of comedy structuring, like comedy shows, is that comedy is drama sped up.
Interesting.
I probably can't define that enough, but like I was thinking about trying to do, like, because they're 15 minutes long but they have to tell a whole story. And there's a great episode of Black Mirror with Bryce Dallas Howard where she's like chasing likes.
Nosedive,
that's really good. But there's a similar, and that's a drama. But
I love that Charlie Brooker's problem with Facebook is that people are going to be too nice to each other. That did not happen, Charlie. It's absolutely fine. No one's being too nice and too positive.
We dodged that bullet, thank goodness. Yeah. But then there's an episode of Community with Meow Meow Beans, which is basically the same idea, put over 21 minutes. And it's kind of like one is drama and the other is comedy, because one takes it to a ludicrous extreme where they live in a dystopia.
Starburns is dressed as Zardoz.
Zardoz?
I can't
Zardoz,
say. That's a hell of a sentence to people who don't watch Community or old Sean Connery sci-fi films. Like, don't worry about it. Just look
it
up.
You'll have to get there's a lot of cultural wheat to sort of to run through to get that.
like Teresa.
I will
running
find
through
this reference.
References.
But yeah, like, I just think so. That's what made me think that actually all of those stories could be slightly, you know, similar to Black Mirrors or something. Mm. The fact they have to be told so quickly means they just become comedic.
That's really interesting. There's no room for breathing space.
Yes.
And credibility, I guess. Yes.
Yeah.
That's nice. Yes. Haunting was great. And I also loved your... I did not see your Edinburgh show this year, and I would like to talk to you about it in a minute.
Okay.
But I want to talk about your Edinburgh show from a couple of years ago called Vaudeville.
Oh, yeah.
That I loved. And you have to imagine I'm wearing my ghost badge, because I genuinely have one, but I couldn't find it this morning.
Oh, bless you.
But imagine I'm wearing the ghost badge that show.
Well, thank you. That was, once again, it's... an hour is a long time to fill.
Mm.
So Vaudeville, for those who didn't see it, unbelievably.
Astonishingly.
There are people there who haven't seen it. It was an Edinburgh live show where I played all the characters, but it was also an anthology horror.
It was a portmanteau, wasn't it?
Yes.
It was in the traditional horror style, like three spooky stories told to you by the caretaker of the theatre.
Yes, exactly.
That you were arriving in as an audience member.
With like a
lovely, lovely.
Slight overarching thing there as well, which is, yeah, and so it played into all those tropes.
Mm.
And it was great because you get to see, like, I'm tapping into a classic genre.
Yeah.
But also what you get to do is not have to do an hour of one story and actually mix it up a bit. And I had a great time doing that show because, yeah, people really enjoyed the... great, because even that's the great thing about portmanteau horror is it ends, and then you're like, oh, there's a new bit. There's something brand new, and there's a new cast of characters, and there's new fun things to do. So, yeah, it's inspired by, like, Dead of Night. What are other great... I'm trying to remember the other portmanteau ones.
I watched a really good Treehouse of Horror yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, number 3, which I thought, oh, is this 3 going to be any good? Because they're fun, you know. And then, oh, it turns out it's really good. It's the one with King Kong.
Oh, wow.
Women and semen don't mix. Yeah. We know what you think. it's a
and
really good Treehouse of
Horror. So a Simpsons episode is 21 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. So they do 3 stories in that. Mm. So each one must be 7 minutes.
Less than, because there's all the bits in between and stuff.
So they're doing like a 6-minute... And I think about Treehouse of Horror stories, and they all feel so substantial.
Mm. They're normally pastiches, which helps, but yeah.
Yes, exactly.
What's your favourite Treehouse of Horror?
Really good question, and I will throw the same back to you. I'm going to say, for now... one that really makes me sad is, you know, where Homer's going through all the different universes.
Oh, yeah.
Where he keeps on changing time. And there's the one where it's his perfect universe, where, like, it's this beautiful palatial house.
Yeah.
And then they tell him that they don't know what donuts are. Yeah. And he runs away. And then it rains donuts outside. And I was like, he would have been so happy there. So that one always makes me really sad. But or Terror at, what is it, 3.5 feet? The one on the school bus, which is the parody of the William Shatner Twilight Zone. It's really good. What about you?
Oh, God, that loads. I love the one where Homer's in hell and he's in the infinite punishment machine, which just keeps shoving donuts in his face. But he just keeps eating the donuts. and there's ironic punishment division. Eat all the donuts, and he just keeps eating them.
Yeah, yeah. And he even asks for more.
It's
that
so one, great.
That's great. That has so many good jokes, that bit.
So
I always think about that when you two put that album on people's iPhones, and it's like, one free music, eh? It's like the ironic punishment division again.
My thing that happens in a Treehouse of Horror is right at the end when they're wrapping the whole thing up.
Mm.
You know, when Marge used to step out in front of the curtain and go, oh, it's going to be a scary one.
Yeah.
I loved that. Oh, anything with a warning.
Yeah,
we're going to get
onto
warnings in a minute. But anything that warns you that you're going to see something scary makes it immediately better. Like, oh, it's such a great trick.
Yeah. Oh, The Raven as well. Sorry, I just remembered that The Raven is
it's literally the first one. Literally the very first Treehouse of Horror. Like, they nailed it from really early on. But the one, so at the end, the family's all line up and go, oh, well, look at it. Don't worry, they're all just stories and all made up. Don't have nightmares. And then someone goes, oh, yeah, but watch out, because there's that fog coming that turns people inside out. And they all just go inside out.
Yeah.
And then they sing one from a chorus line. It's fantastic. And then, and the dog starts eating them all.
Oh, yeah.
It's like such nightmare fuel, and it's like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I can see myself being younger watching that and that genuinely scaring me. Like,
yeah.
I think at a certain age, that's probably why they do the warning is they do it as a joke, but it needs an actual thing because once again, we'll come on to that because so much of like childhood fears isn't stuff that's meant because you don't watch scary things as a kid. So it's, you have to like, you get your fear from like inferring other things.
Well,
and that's
being
really...
told that something is going to scare you. Because,
Let's
move on to your choices because I love that. You said you apologised to me for this. Mm. You said that, I've chosen everything that is like media based and I'm not sure what that says. says about me. I'm fascinated by what that says about me. your fears must be realised behind glass.
Yes, exactly.
behind a black mirror, one might say. Hello.
Yes, I think, because like, so obviously I think to keep it interesting as well and to make it stuff that I wanted to chat about, because like, if I went in and went, what scares you? And it would be like, well, when I was a kid, I was probably scared about my parents dying. And then it'd be like,
I would love to talk about
that. But I feel like everyone would sort of...
I was terrified of my mum being kidnapped by Freddy Krueger. That was a recurring nightmare I had when I was a kid.
That's sort of media-y.
Exactly. But all shot through the prism of pop culture. What are
exactly.
you going to do?
I think that's how we process so much stuff now, don't we? So I'll use that as my excuse.
What scared you as a child, Tom?
The VHS cover of a 1992 horror film entitled The Revenge of Billy the Kid.
I looked this up.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah, it's not a good picture, is it? Like, no. I mean, there's lots of different versions. You sent me, I think, the French version.
I know, it was the most high def one I could find at the time,
and even then, it looked a bit shit.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm imagining this just was not a very high quality picture to begin with.
It wasn't, but I knowing I was coming on this, I went on Twitter because I didn't know at the time, and all I remember is this image. Because what happened was, it was when I was a lot younger, my mum needed to take the car to the garage and we had to like go back and forth to pick up a load of things. We walked past this video shop about four times that day and I carried on walking past this image. And that night I had a nightmare, which I won't describe because nightmares are, you know, it's like...
Oh no, please. No, I love, honestly, I hate it. Oh, it's really boring. It's like, no, what's really boring is saying it's really boring.
Yeah. Let's just plough on through.
Tell me about your dream.
So, I must have been really young. I think we'd just come back from a holiday to Greece. And so I remember like walking around those old towns in Greece. And we were in one of those and we were climbing up like a really rickety staircase. And then at the top there was a door. I pushed it open and then... for those of you who can get access to the image, the goat creature from The Revenge of Billy the Kid walks towards me, saying in a recorded voice, "Have silent dreams, I am no danger." That's a weird phrase that's been in my head since I was a child. But I remember thinking, but then like going, so there's this thing which is threatening you, but also telling you not to be threatened. Anyway, and then it came really close and then I woke up. And
holy fucking shit. Yeah. say that one more time. Have
silent dreams, I am no danger, was like this phrase that, and it just went over and over again. And it was, it's the first time I've ever said it out. Like, that phrase has been in my head for, how long would it be now? At least 20 years.
And you've never said it out loud until now.
Said it out
Hang
loud.
On, have I just been possessed? Yeah. I feel like you've just passed on a curse.
Everyone listening to this podcast now.
I just feel like a curse. Yeah. I'm sorry. Let's talk about the picture from the cover.
Right.
Because now we know why this is the most terrifying thing in the world. It's really fucking funny when you look at the video cover for The Return of Billy the Kid, which is for a shitty-looking horror film.
Yeah, really
I have watched
does.
The trailer. It looks a real stinker.
Yeah.
but the cover is two country bumpkins.
Country bumpkins, classic bumpkins.
Classic bumpkins. I didn't realise it was British. Yeah. I thought they seemed they were like rednecks or something that, as the style of the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
They're in sort of, you know, they've literally got like... you know, jugs with X's on and there's a toilet roll flying in the background. Like, it's really some classy... They I think they're wearing quite a lot of, like, red cheek makeup to look like they're drunk and they've got teeth missing and stuff
it's
like that.
It's very broad, isn't it? It's very broad characterisation they're going for.
Yeah, and... Oh, I know what they look like. They look like the two Ronnies when they used to sit against the wall.
It's exactly that.
You're right there, Ezekiel. Yeah. I've got a pun about my wife's tits. Yeah. Have you? Oh, lovely. It was that.
Yes,
like, very
exactly.
It's very that.
Yeah.
And they've I wish I could remember one of the two Ronnies. They were great characters.
Anyway, I can't remember the sort of the shtick of those two. Was it literally just... puns about it's usually puns
usually
about,
puns
tits,
about tits or just being a bit thick.
Yeah.
I might have to look if I find one I'll drop one in.
Yeah.
I do love the two Ronnies, any excuse. And yes, but in the background, sort of quite about 7 foot tall, is what can only be described as a very 1980s nightmare creature.
Yes.
Who is a sort of goat with a scrambled alien face.
It's so maybe it could be maybe it plays into that whole two Ronnies thing, which is that image looks like something like horror, like say like Hellraiser or something like that, one of those horror 80s things crashing in on safe yes. safe family comedy.
Well, the one on the left looks like John Candy.
Yeah.
And the one on the right looks like Paul Whitehouse doing a far show character. But yeah. Or Unlucky Alf or someone like that. But like they don't look threatening.
They look quite stupid
and they've got little clay pipes.
And I'm guessing they're slightly inspired by, I mean, that image as well, the structure of it is very Abbott Costello, they used to have like the mummy or a vampire behind them. And maybe we're giving them way too much credit.
Yeah, I think. Do you think they accidentally made quite a good horror monster?
Yes,
for a shit.
I think so because, like that, as usual with these things, it's static, and that makes it scarier. Because often with those things, like the second they move, you realise, oh, actually, it flaps around a bit, and oh, it doesn't. The model isn't that good. But if it's a lot of these things are designed to look great when they're like static and in one pose. So it actually doesn't look bad. I don't think for like what must be a British effects company at the time.
Well, what would be interesting? I mean, imagine if you'd then gone in, rented the film, and watched it straight away. Yeah. Probably you would never have had a nightmare again because the film looks absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
It's about a sort of inbred family of farmers. He's called Giles McDonald.
Yeah.
And he's got a kid called Ronald McDonald, who's a girl, and the joke is she's called Ronald. Like, that's the joke. And they're just doing the accent, which I find as a Somersetian very offensive.
Of course.
And he fucks a goat, and the goat has a kid.
Yeah, and then
that's Billy the kid, who's the monster in the thing. It's got nothing to do with the Wild West or anything like that. It's just a goat monster who presumably just chases them around for an hour.
Just kills a few people. Yeah, I think I saw...
People falling in dung piles.
Yeah,
the trailer alone tells you this is not a scary film.
But I remember literally is...
Sorry if you're involved, listeners. Yeah. if you're anyone that made this and it's like, I was young!
Yeah, well, congratulations, it stuck with me.
Hey, you made a film.
Yes.
It's really hard to make
a
film.
It really is, they got the funding somehow. But I'm like... It's popped up again, like, a few times. I just suddenly remember this VHS guy. And I remember when I was at university, I was looking around at an HMV in Newcastle, and I found it. I found it, and I was like, it, like, properly looked like a shock. And so when we were sort of discussing this thing, I was like, oh, I need to... How on earth am I going to find out what this film... What, I can't remember the title.
Even better.
Yeah. I went on Twitter, as, you know, for any of this. And it was a proper Hey Hive Mind, you know, situation. Yeah. And I said, it's two bumpkins, and there's a demonic goat behind them. And just thought, I'll throw it out there.
Yeah.
And two people, one of whom is this parish's John Rain, got back to me really quickly and was like, oh, it's this film. And I was like, it was...
I'm shocked that John Rain knew about a shitty 80s horror film.
I know. What are the odds? And so, yeah, so I saw that and suddenly was like, oh, my God. I was transported back to them because it still holds up as an image. And I was like, oh. But then I knew the film and you can find out more about them now. And so I investigated
that's,
it. And
I think the lost art of knowing a tiny, tiny bit about a film,
which,
you know, in the conversation about... terrifying VHS or Betamax. I don't know why I'm saying VHS like Beta didn't exist. Yeah. I had a Betamax.
Oh, really?
That's why I spent so long in the video shop as a kid because there wasn't any Beta film. So I always spent hours.
Yeah.
And it was what you did with kids back then, leave them in the video shop.
That's great.
But that's at least, that's like a soft play area now. Back then you would leave your kid in the video shop for an hour. You'd go off and do some shopping.
It's like, you just sort of
have an affair. I don't know, whatever parents did in the
80s. Blockbuster has a lot to answer for.
And you'd just be wondering, I think Blockbuster was were you about the same age? I'm 39.
34.
Okay, so yeah. Same thing. You'd go and you'd spend an hour just walking around a shop looking at these, and this tiny amount of information that was meant to make it look as good / scary / sensational / sexy as possible.
Yeah.
And then you would never find out anything more about it again. There's loads of videos that freaked me out as a kid that, again, had no more information on. One was Ghoulies.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was... If I'd known then, it's a rip-off of Gremlins, which you loved. And my brain didn't make those connections. And the image was just a crap... spooky monster coming out of a toilet.
Right,
wearing child's clothes, which was a bit freaky. So I was like, where did he get the clothes?
Interesting.
That it said, like, Ghoulies, they'll get you. And then it was like, this is going to come out of a toilet and kill you via your arse.
Yeah, which is always terrifying.
Arse first death is the worst kind of death. But I was looking at it in the video shop, a tiny little video shop, not a Blockbuster, a tiny little creepy old tobacconist, you know, like everyone chain smoking, kind of one of those places.
Yeah.
And my sister was... stood next to an open gas fire.
Yeah,
you know, like back in the 80s, everything could kill you.
Yeah,
there was just an open gas fire. It was cold. I was staring at this Ghoulies poster, and then my sister screamed, and I turned around, and her puffer coat, jacket, her flammable CNA ski jacket caught fire. So
you must have thought, does this have a power? This image has a power.
The power of the Ghoulies poster.
Like you say, you had this. These sort of squares that you could look at.
Yeah.
And back then they weren't so good at marketing films. So like now you'd put a star front and center or like the IP or something like that. Whereas then they sort of just went, here's an image from it. And it would be, if it was a horror film, it'd just be designed to be as like either enigmatic or as shocking as possible. Weirdly, I think also it's something unique to that early 90s, late 80s style. Because even comedies, I remember seeing the cover for Problem Child 2. And have a look at it. And like, as, you know,
Problem Child 2.
And I think it's an image of John Ritter. It's trapped in a washing machine.
Do you know what? Yeah. I've started typing it in and I remember it. He looks traumatized.
Yeah. And you're like, that never happened. Obviously, that doesn't happen in the film because...
He's traumatized inside a washing machine.
Yeah. Which is, like, really a horror... Because you're actually warned, like, when you're a kid, because when you can fit in washing machines, don't get in the washing machine.
Yeah.
And I just... That doesn't happen in the film, obviously. Because, like, so much of these images that they'd put in wouldn't actually be representative, because they'll be hand-drawn as well.
National Lampoon's Vacation. That's a brilliant cover, but I didn't know what the fuck the reference was. Just, what is this film about? It looks mad. There was one, which has come up on the show before, but there was a film, and I didn't ever know the title of it, because I couldn't look it up. So it's just haunted me forever without ever knowing the title of it, which is, all I knew, it had the woman from Poltergeist, who was the psychic, Zelda Rubinstein.
Yes.
Or Stein. Mm-hmm. And she was, and it just said on the back of it, what Mama wants, Mama gets, because Mama has the gift of second sight. And then underneath that, there was a great big warning sticker that said, this film contains hypnosis elements. If you're watching this film, you're going to be hypnotized. And all you have to do is keep watching the screen. And obviously, I freaked the shit out of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously, I knew I couldn't rent the film because I was like 9.
Yeah.
And also, I thought, what happens if you're watching the film and then, like, there's a power cut? You'd go mad?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously... Now I could watch Anguish anytime I wanted. I looked it up. It's called Anguish. It's in Spanish or Portuguese.
Oh, wow.
And
the power of like the.
I will never watch it.
Of course.
But I'm sure I had nightmares about Zelda Rubinstein coming to get me.
Definitely.
And hypnotizing me.
Well, because it's that. Also, they came with that big red 18 certificate. All of these horror films that was so like, because you just told as a kid those are the ones you can't watch.
Mm.
Suddenly, this whole thing takes, and you just assume they contain the most awful, terrible things possible.
Let's remember what they contain.
This film has been classified 18, which means it's for adults only. It's an offence for your shop to supply an 18 video to anyone under that age, so don't ask them to break the law. An 18 film will certainly have an adult theme and might well contain strong scenes of sex or violence, which could be quite graphic. It may also contain some very explicit language, which will frequently mean sexual swear words.
Sexual swear words.
Hello.
I love the phrase sexual swear words. Because we all know what it means.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Hang on, so like, I'm trying to think of the big hitters in terms of swearing, your big five, whatever.
Yeah.
The first one that is non-sexual is, I mean, depending on your proclivities, is shit, right?
Yeah.
Beyond that, beyond shit.
Well, shit was definitely, you could always have a shit in a 15.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But like, do you remember when then comedy videos came out and they would have an 18 and you'd be like, oh my God, imagine what they say. And it's like they say cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone's going to say cunt.
Yeah, yeah. Does Lily Savage murder someone in this video?
Yeah. No. Oh my God, how blue is Bob Monkhouse going? I only know him from Wipeout.
Yeah,
What's he going to...
Doesn't matter that my late night call came at all.
Heavy Pencil, from the people who brought you Brian and Roger.
HJM Talent.
Yes, it's Michael. Is Margot there?
Michael?
Michael Cork.
Are you a client?
Yes, I'm a client. I'm the actor Michael Cork. Could I speak to Margot, please? It's urgent.
I'm afraid she's doing her colouring in book at the moment. Can I take a message?
Yes. Could you ask... Sorry, who are you?
Sarah Tiptree.
Right. Are you Margot's new assistant or something?
Fliss is Margot's assistant.
Yes, yes, I know Fliss, I know that. Has she left?
No. I've been taken on as Fliss's assistant.
You're the assistant's assistant?
Yes, if you like.
Heavy Pencil by Anna Crilly and Tony Gardner.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights.
I've climbed up Nelson's Column once before. These are small.
And put it down in front of Bagpuss.
I'm Julia Rayside. Join me and my guests as we dip into our favourite TV memories.
Suppose Martin Thursday bashing her head like this.
You can't tell me what to do. You ain't my mother.
I love when a plan comes together.
Come and tell us what yours are too.
We've all been told we can't discuss nominations.
It's a bit of car air.
Shut up with a novel on the top.
I think I like you, Lovejoy.
Find us on Twitter at Box Delights Pod and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're remaining for your second choice, which is your favourite scary moment from film or TV.
Yes.
We are remaining in the early 90s? Or was it late 80s? Hang on, gosh,
I saw it in the early 90s, but I think it was 89. Because I remember seeing, so before I say what it is, the context being that this came with a group of videos that I remember I was sort of introduced to as like, you're now old enough to watch films that aren't exclusively kids films, but
good
are like
films.
Good
film.
Because there wasn't Pixar back then, so they mainly it was just like, now some good films. And it was The Princess Bride, it was The Adventures of Baron Munchausen, and the final one, which was Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And so my scariest moment from film or TV is Judge Doom from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I'm so happy we're talking about this, because this is... It was scary, but I loved it. Yeah. I loved the shit. I loved... This is the film that made me the badly drawn woman I am today.
Amazing.
I am not... Yeah, it is...
We will get to... Basically, I would watch it... I was obsessed with Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And I'd watch it up until, basically, they're in the warehouse at the end. You know, the...
So you're okay with the first dip scene?
Yes.
Because I... Okay, the first dip scene is the most horrifying one for me, because it's when the whole film... The whole film has been, up until that point, like, just... chaos and brilliant, and then all the sort of slightly grown up sexy stuff that you're like, it's like, okay, I'll park that
for now
until I get to about 39, and then it'll become like my favourite film.
That's what Pretty Cake means. I get it now.
Yeah, that's what Baby Herman is sticking his finger in the air before he walks under that lady's skirt.
Yeah.
Now I understand, and I feel a bit uncomfortable because it's a baby.
Yes.
But when you there's so much going on in that film. And they had to animate as well. It's not like they did that by accident.
Oh no, everything was so deliberate.
So up until the point when Judge Doom comes in and he demonstrates that he has now got a system for policing the cartoons.
Yes.
Which is I can't remember the name of the actor. Doc Brown.
Yes, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd, that's why, because I kept thinking of Doc Brown. Yeah. Christopher Lloyd is a scary human judge, and he demonstrates that the Toons can be killed, the mm-hmm. seemingly immortal Toons can be killed with this thing called the Dip.
Yes, which is a big, horrible barrel, big sort of oil barrel that he opens,
And it's steaming and it's green mm-hmm. and it's turpentine and a bunch of other, you know, paint strippers, effectively, is the gag. And he takes this tiny little squeaky shoe.
Yeah, this anthropomorphized little sad shoe.
Sad shoe that's done something wrong in its life.
Yeah, and drops it agonizingly slowly into the Dip. It's not like it's now it's just like gone. Yeah. It's like you see that thing suffer. And that is it's a cartoon. It doesn't, you know, it's.
And because it's red paint,
mm.
I absolutely thought it was meant to be blood for the first time. Yeah. There's this like film of red on top of the Dip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and it's meant to be scary.
Yes.
But it's way more scary than it should be.
Yeah.
and the creak of his gloves as he puts them on, it's like this noise. Like, it's beautiful. Robert Zemeckis is so good.
Yes.
With both noise and. some of the noises from Death Becomes Her are the best noises in films. So,
another scary VHS cover as well. That is another great kind of scary to title back is Death Becomes Her. If you don't have any context for it, then it's quite.
Chilling. I can imagine. God, I love that film. What was I saying? So you can watch this, but you can watch that bit.
Yes.
Well, and then you get to the end.
Because I didn't have a context for Christopher Lloyd, because I was, for some reason, people talk about loving Back to the Future. Mm. It passed me by.
Interesting.
You know how, like, sometimes maybe you weren't in on the Wednesday night when they showed it on TV?
Yeah.
That for a whole generation, that was like when they first saw it and it was amazing. And I feel like I missed that. And so
I never saw Star Wars. I saw Spaceballs.
Right.
Spaceballs to me is that film.
Yeah.
And Star Wars I saw when I was about 15.
Right.
Like, just completely bypassed me in culture. Like, I think I saw the Ewoks film more than I saw Star Wars. Definitely.
When you see The Shining and you haven't. I saw The Shining first, but I know some people who've seen The Shining after seeing The Simpsons thing, and they're oh, yeah, I knew it's not scary, because I imagine they're like, oh, the blood usually comes off in the second floor.
All work and no play makes Homer go crazy.
Don't mind if I do. exactly. So, like, if you... Yes, yeah, so for me, he was Judge Doom. Mm-hmm. I had no, like... He wasn't the friendly but weird, Doc from Back to the Future.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I managed to get through the first thing. And it is an adult film. Like, Eddie Valiant is an alcoholic.
Yep.
As a result of his brother's death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is not... It's not like they do something where, like, he's addicted to, you know...
sugar.
Exactly.
I think sugar, yeah.
He's like, oh, no, he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And so those are very adult things. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the final bit, which is the showdown between Eddie Valiant, who's just killed all the weasels. That's really funny when he's doing the dance routine with all the weasels and they're all dying laughing.
Well, also, what's really weird is that the weasels seem to be the only ones that have ghosts.
Yeah,
When the shoe dies, the shoe doesn't get a ghost.
That is true.
What's the shoe done? Why doesn't the shoe have a soul?
Exactly. Because they all, like, when you see them and they all float off to heaven, you're like, oh, that's fine. But yeah, something about I mean, there's an awful joke there about the shoe not having a soul.
Oh, mate, I can't believe I missed that.
It was there all along.
I hate myself.
Yeah. but then Judge Doom gets run over by a steamroller, and you find out that Judge Doom is not human. Judge Doom is a toon wearing a human costume.
With marbles for eyes.
With marbles for eyes.
He's a toon!
Surprised?
Not really. That lame brain freeway idea could only be cooked up by a toon.
Not just any toon!
And it's the thing that's scariest for me is the fact that you subsequently, actually, there's like a comic book that gives you the backstory, which spoils it.
Oh, interesting.
But in the actual film, one, you don't know the name of the villain. You don't know who Christopher Lloyd actually is.
No.
And you don't know what he looks like, because you find out from, is it Dolores says at the end, oh, he's wearing like a rubber mask and all those things to look human.
Mm.
So you never find out what...
Yeah, I think Mickey Mouse even says, I wonder who that guy was.
Yeah.
I think, I know he's not a toon.
Yeah. So it's like... There's this villain that you never see, which is great, because all kids are like, the things you don't see are the things that you make most scary, because
your mind
brings it up. So actually, what lies beneath that the
wax mask, yes, yeah,
is potential, and it's got a horrible squeaky voice, yeah, and has those red eyes that sort of spiral, and you're, and I just found it's that whole thing just so scary, because there's no, they don't give you any answers at the end either, you know. That was it, a bank robber that, so Judge Doom, the tune inside Judge Doom is a bank robber that killed Eddie Valiant's,
yes, they
brother.
Sort of say that in the film, don't they, yeah. Eddie Valiant and his brother caught him mid robbery, and he, yes, dropped a safe, or a piano,
I think it was, I can't remember now. A piano, dropped a piano.
Piano sounds funnier, so yeah, yeah. I'm going to say piano, but safe makes more sense. Bank, yes, robbery, yeah. But yeah, he dropped a piano on his head.
Mm. So there's a comic book that Ben says actually he's a guy called, like, Baron von Rotten or something. You're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Isn't it more funny to think that there's this, whatever this creature is that is like an evil tune,
yeah,
that's killing people, that you never get to see. And so, yeah, so I used to have to watch that up until the point he's about to get run over by the steamroller and then not watch it again because it was just too frightening. And he's got the weird hair, the weird blonde hair on the top of his head and stuff.
That's right.
And it's really so... I rewatched that clip again in advance of this, and I love the film so much.
I mean, I imagine it was quite... Did you have to go and, like, get someone to watch it with you? Or when you were a kid?
When I was a kid, I'd just go, oh, no, that's the film.
Leave the room.
Finish the film now. Because, like, when you're a kid, you just watch VHSs.
Yeah.
And eventually you get to an age where... Or if you can put the VHS in the player on your own,
yeah,
then that's it.
Yeah.
But I'd always be like, and I'm stopping there.
Was your nightmare someone walking in and going, oh, I love this film, should we watch the end of it? And then you having to make some, like, excuse, like, I better just stab myself in the arm.
Exactly.
So then I had to go to hospital.
Yeah, yeah. We can't watch the end. What a shame.
Yeah.
And I remember watching it. So a friend of mine had recorded it off the TV and we watched it there. And what's really strange is obviously TV edits.
Mm.
I knew this film off by heart and I knew almost every shot of that film. So when I watched it again, I was like, one, the dip scene is so much shorter on the TV edit. The bit where the shoe's lowered in,
right,
they remove about four shots of the thing suffering. And also there's the bit where... Judge Doom says, when I killed your brother, I talked just like that. And he has that really high voice. That's cut from the TV version as well.
So you didn't see any of that when you were a kid?
Oh, no, I saw it. But then my friend had never seen it. But I was like, then I registered in my head that, like, they've taken that out because that's too scary.
Oh,
like, they've removed that.
They knew.
Yeah. They knew that, like, that's really intense. When he has that horrible high voice and he's got the demonic eyes. Yeah.
Sorry. There's also a really horrible bit when he gets run over by the steamroller and you assume he's dead.
Yeah.
And he springs back up cartoon like, except because he's a cartoon in a human suit and a human body.
Yeah,
what happened? The effect they use is like stop motion. It's like Jason and the Argonauts, something like that, which is not in any of the rest of the film.
No, no.
So it's a completely different form of spooky horror animation. She was just like,
yeah. And he's like,
why has it gone into Jason? And he looks like Freddy Krueger because his hat's been squashed flat.
That's so true.
Mm.
Hadn't thought about that. Yeah, and I think that's one of those films that talks you through the being a kid to being an adult, which is like, oh, so it starts off and it's really fun and everything, it's got a cartoon at the beginning as well, and then you're taken through it all and it's quite a lark, and then it gets a lot darker, so there's a few of those films that sort of usher you, I suppose, from like childhood into adulthood in very subtle ways by sort of introducing you to certain things, like certainly Who Framed Roger Rabbit's a very sexy, like, yeah, wears
very
its sexuality
film.
on its
yeah,
sleeve.
But that's what I like, because it's literally sexiness as a cartoon.
Yes.
Like I think one of the things I love about it, because Jessica Rabbit is such a strong female character in a time when you really didn't have to have women doing that much good stuff in a film. She's just so cartoonishly sexy. It's funny.
Yeah. It's a great performance, isn't it?
Kathleen Turner is so good in that film. Like, and she does it the same in Man with Two Brains. Like, it's when she's just, it's the same character, really. It's just like so ridiculously sexy that no one's going to have a wank to it. They're just going to, like, enjoy it and just go, that's really... Like, it's quite often, I find it in writing stuff.
Yeah.
To drag it onto our jobs.
Yes.
But if you're writing stuff that's, like, a character has got to be something that's traditionally quite boring. Like, they're nice.
Yes.
Or they're, you know, they're kind.
Mm.
And it's really difficult to make that interesting if you're doing a cast of, like, people who, like, have much more interesting traits. But if you take that fader and you turn it all the way up, you suddenly get characters like Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec, whose thing is that she's kind.
Yeah.
But if you turn that to a million, it's just a bit up.
So, the sexy that way. I think there's very few... imagine now, I suppose there's like things that are titillating, but imagine doing like writing a comedy or something where one of the aims of one of the characters was to be sexy.
Yeah.
And how like how, I don't know, I'd find that very intimidating.
You'd
to
never
like,
get that now in a film because they're so compartmentalised now.
Yeah.
You don't, family films, like even Pixar doesn't seem to be making family films anymore. They're not bothered.
Yeah.
Like Toy Story 4 is like, well, we've done the bit where everyone's going to have a cry and we've done the merchandising and it's right. fine.
Yeah.
And then it's about sort of dads.
Yes. Yeah,
dads,
yeah.
Dads and empty nests and stuff. And it's like, all right, just have a little rest. Yeah, Pixar is fine.
You're all very sad now.
Yeah. And Wreck-It Ralph is just, I love it. Wreck-It Ralph 2 is the only thing I've seen recently where it did that kind of chaotic, so many universes, and then you remember Disney owns everything.
Oh, right.
So it's really bleak. So you've got all these, like, you know, oh my god, it's C-3PO bumming Deadpool. And it's, oh no, that's not chaotic.
Yeah,
Disney just owns them
all
now.
And that's the thing, when you're watching it, and it's overwhelming that you have, and that there are stories about how there were limits, like they literally, it was lawyers were talking about the frames, weren't they, about like, so I think that Bugs Bunny and Mickey Mouse descend into shot at different points, but then one speaks before the other. And
interesting.
Like, it's the same thing as like when The Rock and Jason Statham fight and they need to be like, there's four punches here and there's two punches here, but they won't lose to this person. It's all like, yeah.
And they are cartoon men.
They really are.
Jason Statham, they're just, they're like our modern cartoon. Your final choice.
Yes.
I fucking hate you.
I'm so
what
sorry.
What did you make me watch?
So
this is, yeah, tell me what, well, this is your fear you live with now, and now I live with now.
Oh god, the fear I live with now broadly is YouTube, but the example I gave you is a thing called by a YouTuber called Chills, called the top 15 scariest YouTube videos.
Yeah. Gonna put a little clip in there.
Yep.
Obey the Walrus. This video obtained its fame a while back from the confusing and creepy vibe it radiates. It's a very old video, and the quality shows that. It features very creepy and childish music that plays over footage of a transvestite wearing a pink dress and walking around in a distorted manner.
Just the voiceover?
The voiceover. So, that's part of it.
What's weird about this collection is a collection of clips.
It is.
Of the 15 scariest things you can see on the internet.
Which are, you know, I think he produces one of these a week. So there's one a month. So, like, yeah, there's variations on how scary you'll find each one. And I really want to know which one, if it was just the general framing of it that was the most scary thing. Cause,
no, the scariest thing for me was that it felt like it had been put together by someone who has no actual human emotion whatsoever and is going on like hits or clicks or something, because it was the lurch that went from, like, I think the first three are kind of shitty early internet, we've slowed down a video of a creepy doll or a person, a disabled person, like dancing in an
anime. That one's unfortunate, isn't it?
I mean, I actually know who Goddess Bunny is, but it's just like a slow down clip of Goddess Bunny performing. They're a transgender performer who is performing in drag, and they've got scoliosis. And it's quite a beautiful video, but actually, if you slow it down and put on creepy music and all that stuff, it's very early internet kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's things like that, and then there's a lot of things that are like a spooky doll,
or
here's a Japanese video of an advert slowed down, apparently if you watch it 16 times, you'll get cancer.
Yeah.
Like there's loads of those in this kind of countdown video.
Yeah.
And you go from sort of three or four of those, and some of them are really spooky. One of them's like, the, you know, that thing where you have to watch the car driving through the countryside, and then a scary face jumps out. You're brilliant. Then it's just a snuff film.
Yeah.
It's like, here's number 15. This creepy clip is a man slowly drowning as his oxygen tank runs out.
This is
the footage from his phone. You're like, no, I'm just watching a man. This is a man actually drowning.
Which is, for me, that distills. Now, I completely forgot that one was in there, because I didn't want to send anything that was like, that actually, because it's fun to be scared by, like, you know, things that people created. Like, there's one with the guy that's like clay masks and makes them all scary and stuff. But
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I like it. And I wanted to get that across without actually having a snuff film. I failed, I'll be honest.
No, it's fine. I mean, that was what was scariest about it to me. I mean, I would watch all those little spooky clips. Mm. Like, I was like, oh, creepypasta.
I love all that stuff.
Oh, that's a little nice little... And then, but that's the kind of detachment of going, yeah, let's go from the... the spooky ballerina video. No, I love all the kind of... The urban myth stuff that's all behind it as well, I found really interesting.
That's really fun. There's the one with the mannequin and it's singing, and it's like, was this a serial killer wanted his victims to sing these things to him, and so he made the doll sing it to him and all that. But I think that's why it represents, like, for me, YouTube, although I know they have, and I don't want to get us into any legal swampy ground, but, like, obviously they have parameters and rules of guidance for what you can and can't include on YouTube, but there is still a lack of conscience. Like, YouTube, one of those things, has such a lack of conscience, and that is, like, so that's why it scares me now. One, because you can go on an internet rabbit hole, and if you're young, you can end up somewhere very dark that you'd have to work for. When we at our age, you know, when we were sort of younger, we'd have to go out of our way to find that stuff, and now YouTube autoplays until you end up
YouTube autoplays as a parent. The autoplay thing scares the shit out of me. I've seen some of the shit that gets buried in autoplay. If you look at like the Peppa Pig stuff.
Oh really?
I mean, obviously there's a lot of like bullshit ones that have started, like the Momo challenge and whatever, which I love them. I things like that, like, just for fun. They're like like our urban myth. They're like they're like the kid at school who stuck two pencils up his nose and slammed his head into the desk, and everyone who was doing the exam got an A. I love that. It's fucking great. That stuff's brilliant.
Yeah.
But the ones that are made, they're made by algorithms. That's the thing, there's no humanity in it. There's just videos that are like made by algorithms
that you
are sort
of game as well. You can actually sort of get, you can make these algorithms work for you if you are nefarious and you want to do that kind of stuff.
So they sort of mix up any footage they found of anything that resembles Peppa Pig.
Yeah.
Including sort of nightmare parody ones, and then like then there's slowed down bits of video, and like they look horrible and creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Like if you let a Peppa Pig video autoplay, and I'm sure they're all made by BBC Worldwide to make sure you buy the videos.
Makes sense. Yeah. But the idea that you could just like, and it's the thing of like just having a nap, like you put someone in bed and then you just like maybe fall, and then suddenly they're watching this stuff. Mm. So yeah, so it's, so there's this guy who talks like this, and he narrates them, and like you say,
what works really well here is that you're gonna be scared by a thing jumping out at you. The guy jumps out at you and makes you feel frightened.
You're like, yep,
here's
you're
number 12. A guy kissing a corpse.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
No, that's a real man kissing a corpse. Yeah, right? That does not look fake.
So there's the other one, which is I mean, I'll bring this out for people when they're prepared, which is there's a paedophile singing Pretty Woman.
Oh my god.
Which is an actual, that's that guy who broke his court order to go on YouTube to lip sync Pretty Woman, and he looks like, if you imagine a paedophile, that's it. That's the guy you're imagining.
If you imagine someone who would be in the Chris Morris Barso paedophile.
That's him. Oh. it's an extraordinary clip. And it is that, just like, it's someone who's delighting in all of this horrible stuff.
He just has no... He can't tell the difference between someone who's made like a funny video of like a here's a mannequin that's moving in an amusing, you know, or here's a video that someone posted with an orb that looks a bit like a ghost.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a funny fake found footage thing where a man is going around the Paris catacombs. You're like, that's
really fun.
That's fun. Or my favorite one was the YouTube lady doing a makeup tutorial and then
that's
suddenly,
so good.
It's so good. And then suddenly getting possessed. And slamming her face into just good fun.
It's really good. And
if you like horror-y things, it's good fun.
Yeah,
but, and you're obviously braced and ready for that stuff when you're watching a thing called like 15 Horrifying Countdown. Yeah. But this is you. This is what you do. You sit and watch these. Do you? Is it the aggregated ones you like, or you like the ones that you just don't?
Yeah,
you like to know.
I want to. If someone, and I put a lot of trust in Chills. This guy.
Hey, I'm Chills.
And I'm like, please don't let me down. But like that, because they are. There's a certain amount of. What I don't want to do, and what really sort of worried me was, people who talk about going on Reddit and things like that, and I think that I'd really like Reddit, and I think I would now. I know it's a slight home for some odd people, but like, it's those places where suddenly you can come across there's things like watch people die, and you're like, I don't want to. That feels like a transgression. If people have made something that's creepy, or they've repurposed footage to make it creepy and then created a backstory about it or whatever, lovely stuff. And I'm so up for that. And it's occasionally, it's that slight Wild West thing still on the internet where you can find yourself going, oh no, I didn't want to end up here, and now those images will never leave me. And it's like, you can still sort of do that, and maybe we're, I don't know, I'm so conflicted about internet censorship and all those things, because it's a dodgy, you know, where to end, but also I don't want to end up on a website where you can do four clicks and then watch a guy accidentally chainsaw his own face off or something, or those kind of things.
Yeah, no, it's it, it, and that, yeah, it's the the fact that none of this is being decided for you, it's being decided by an algorithm that is going to, that wants you to keep watching. So we'll sort of start offering you little sidebars.
There's an excellent episode of Reply All about this. Apparently it's because every single YouTube video, eventually, if you left it auto-playing, would eventually end up at Gangnam Style. That was like a joke. And so they changed the algorithm. So rather than going for like the most popular things, the algorithm doesn't work for that anymore. So that's why actually people are getting funneled towards the your weird conspiracy theorists and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, there must be a computer out there somewhere that's just started on the most innocuous video of all time and is auto-playing forever. And just where it ends up and whether it could, I don't know, you sort of wonder whether it would just cover every single video in the world or what would actually happen.
Dude, let's pinpoint, what is your actual fear? That you're going to accidentally see a snuff or you're accidentally going to enjoy something you shouldn't?
I think that, like, when you go on some of these, like YouTube, you're entering a world where, and it's not the dark web, but you're entering a world where you don't have control over necessarily everything that you're going to see. And, yeah, you're happily playing in a world where you're watching interviews of, you know, musicians and actors that I like, and that's all fun over here. But then lurking in the dark woods is stuff that would absolutely absolutely haunt you, and it's all on the same website. And if you were to, you know, you're only a Google away from thinking, what's the worst thing I could ever see, and it's there. So that worries me.
I love the metaphor of it being, you know, away from the campfire, and that the woods and the dark woods behind you. It's true. There's a, you know, are you, why the hell would you go off and explore a noise you've heard? But we all do.
You all go down the internet rabbit hole. But the other end of that is quite interesting, because, like you say, the alternative is you watch something like Jills and you see, is it Mistress Bunny? And so
Goddess Bunny.
So you see this video and you see Goddess Bunny, and actually you find out about that this sort of slightly scary image, because obviously her joints are inverted, so she moves in a way that's not.
Let's use the pronoun she, because I'm not entirely certain.
Should I do that? Did I say she?
Yeah, but it's all right. Let's just use the pronoun she and Goddess Bunny, because goddess. And she's dressed in a sort of ballerina outfit, and she's got scoliosis or something. So her physicality is very jerky, and she's dancing and clearly. Presenting in this kind of like very, it seems quite celebratory.
Yeah.
But if you slow it down, you put on music and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And because they've got male features in heavy female makeup, it's got that kind of trans panic kind of thing going on. Which actually, that's what I found quite interesting about all those videos, is that loads of them are about female faces looking scary. They're all dolls or mannequins or they're either men dressed up as women, or they're like a robot that's got a female voice and a female wig. It's like, what's if I scared of women, man?
Yeah.
What's your fucking problem?
Yeah.
Imagine it's like being a little girl or twins. Are we just scary?
Yeah.
Oh, imagine a woman.
Yeah. Nothing scary.
We are so much more scared of everything else.
Oh, God.
We're like spiders.
Yes, is that more? But is that like
women, they're more afraid of you.
You are of them. It's a great slogan.
Yeah. The slogan for women.
Yeah.
Why not try one today?
But it's like, the more you find, the more information you get about these things. So you start and you see this creepy image, and then the more you strip it of its power to be creepy by informing yourself about what it is, by finding out that this woman is actually I think a burlesque dancer as well, and that sort of she makes a living, and that this is an art piece designed by someone, and this is actually someone created this to do these things. Once you educate yourself, they stop being scary, and they become, oh, that's it, that becomes interesting. You're like, oh, this person puts clay on his face and makes like horrible, but that's it looks really cool.
It's like,
really
like you just shined a torch into the dark
and
found out what's going on.
Yeah,
it's weird. I went on one of those deep dives earlier on when we were talking, because then you would be talking about Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and I was trying to remember if all those fantastic urban myths that went around when we were a kid. Again, it's those snippety, tiny bits of information. When you were at school, did you get all the Roger Rabbit urban myths?
So that you can see she has like, she's not wearing any underwear.
Jessica Rabbit's got no pants on.
What was the other one? I can't remember the other.
There was always loads of Disney ones.
Right.
I think because that's the perfect storm of imagine it'd be the worst thing in the world if there was some, I think there's some coral in The Little Mermaid that's.
The stars after Mufasa disappeared. appears in the sky, meant to spell out sex, but I think it's meant to be SFX, as in special effects things. I think so. The rescuers. There's a topless woman in the rescuers.
Great. It's like a frame, isn't there?
Yeah.
I love all that. This is great.
It's so much fun.
But then, you can now... It's no fun now. You can just immediately go on the internet and look at the Snopes page for Roger Rabbit, which apparently half of the things are bullshit, and the other half were just like, they didn't bother to think about people slowing it down to bother putting a shade of colour between her legs so it looks like she's got a shaved fanny. Yeah. And if people were pausing that and having a wank, God bless them.
Good for you. Good for that. Good.
Good for you.
That has to be the only VHS you own, and like there's nothing else in your house if that is what you're
resorting
to. I want
to meet the people who've got that kind of worn out rabbit moment. I mean, people had weird wanks back in the 80s and 90s before the internet. That's the podcast me and Ben Partridge want to start a podcast called Weird Wanks.
I would 100% subscribe to that.
Everyone, it's like no one would be a guest on it.
Yeah.
But everyone wants to talk about it. Like, I just want to get on my friend who used to masturbate to the Tampax instructions. the diagram from the instructions in the Tampax packet.
Amazing.
It's just a lady with her leg up on a sink.
Imagine being
split down the middle.
Oh, God. Imagine being the first guest on that part. Like, you and Ben are there, and you're like,
me and
we
Ben
want
Partridge,
And before there's some ones you can listen to and gauge the tone, you're like the person who tests the water and is like, what about, who's the one that...
We all used to wank over Sebastian and the little...
Yeah, yeah. No, that's not cool.
Remember how we wanted to fuck the fox Robin Hood? Yeah. Yes, now everyone says that. Yeah. God, so boring.
Exactly, you either go not acceptable or way too far. So like, the female bunny from Space Jam, I feel like that comes up a lot. People like...
Girl bunnies, totally. Bunnies. And the Cadbury's Caramel Bunny.
Yeah,
Miriam Margolyes. Back to rabbits again. But when weirdly, everyone conflates Jessica Rabbit and the Cadbury's Caramel Rabbit.
Interesting. Is that Miriam Margolyes? I thought that was Jam Ravens.
No, Miriam Margolyes was Cadbury's Caramel Bunny.
Oh.
And now he puts a whole sexy spin on it. Before I start getting too carried away and pitching it to the great big owl.
Yeah.
But it's a great idea. It's about weird shit people used to wank to before there was the internet.
Yeah.
It involves sexy playing cards, Sam Fox's strip poker game, and the George and Lynn cartoon in the sun. That's my top three.
Nice.
What would yours be?
I want to offer up something that's genuinely interesting. Because your introduction to so much of this stuff is like weirdly comedy, isn't it?
Mm.
So
it's first time you see tits is Airplane.
Yeah,
or Trading Places.
Yes. Yeah. So it would probably...
The first time you see a willy is Life of Brian.
Yeah. And that
and a fanny. So Graham Chapman on the slack in Life of Brian is probably one of my very earliest sexy memories.
That's very true. And then the woman who became the mayor of Aberystwyth.
Judith.
Yeah. Who held a screening basically to go have a look at
my massive 70s bush. Yeah. As my friend Log described it, like someone had thrown a bag of soot between her legs. It's normal for the 70s.
Yeah.
Let's end on you recommending one super scary YouTube thing that you've seen recently that you like for our listeners.
Yeah, that's really good. I hardly recommend the... I won't do one where anyone actually in real life suffered.
That would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything that gives there's a few YouTube explanations that give an explanation of the supposed terrifying episode of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right.
Called something like Squidward's Depression or Squidward's Day or something. And basically it's anything that tells the story, which is there's apparently this episode of SpongeBob SquarePants written by someone who never worked on it again. And it obviously, and all the scripts were burned. And they show this episode and it's like, it describes this episode of SpongeBob SquarePants that's supposedly like mind-bending, like people went insane watching it and all these things.
Great.
And it's clearly not true, but it's just sometimes it's really nice to sit in that world where there could be, an episode of something like where The Simpsons does know what's going to happen in the future rather than just producing enough episodes that inevitably they get a few things right, like that kind of thing. Where you can go, oh my God, what if this actually happened? And there was this terrifying episode of SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh God, I want to watch that. That sounds great. And the idea that a show that takes about a year to make an episode of animation, but it somehow slipped through the net.
Yeah. You just saw those people who know nothing about the production of anything, but go like, maybe it could happen. It couldn't. It really couldn't.
No, that is the safe kind of scary that I like a lot. Yes,
it's the creepypasta, isn't it? It's that kind of thing that's really fun.
Oh, cheers, Tom Neenan. Thanks so much
for having me.
Anything you want to plug?
I myself have a podcast that'll be coming out at the end of October. Yes, it's a scripted podcast with BBC Sounds. When will this go out, do you reckon?
Oh, very good question. Soon enough, before October, yes.
Before October. I'm not sure. What can I say? I'll just say, it's like basically I'm playing a version of me that's from my most recent Edinburgh show. So it's that kind of thing. And I'm playing sort of the worst version of myself, which has been a weird process to write, but I hope people like it and get the joke.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much, Tommy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
And welcome to the musical podcast. I'm Kiri.
And I'm Jade.
And I'm Dave. And
Dave's on keys. But we don't play that too much because otherwise we'll have to pay some people rights money.
Yeah. We do a live show where comedians come and sing their favourite musical theatre songs in front of a live audience. This podcast
is us bringing that person inside of a building.
Welcome to Just a Minute with Jade Adams.
I panicked.
Enjoy.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.